Fuck insurance.
If anybody thinks an insurance company is their friend, they're sadly mistaken. And it's really for that sort of performance-based provider that is, you know, sitting in a high-volume practice and they're starting to question if they ever should have gone to PT school to begin with. I've literally talked to people that were seeing upwards of 50 people a day with like one aide. And sales is probably the most important skill that you could develop as a practitioner, whether you're working for yourself or not. And I know there's people out there that are sitting in their car in the morning and they're just like, damn it, I don't want to go to this clinic and work with these work comp patients that don't want to get better and not be able to use my skill set in a way that I know that I can. And I know there's people out there that I can help, but I just don't know how to do it. That's really who it's for.
A podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping. This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestro-ified.
3, 2, 1.
Fuck insurance. Yeah, one more time. Fuck insurance. Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me none other than the Dr. Danny Matei. I brought him on for episode 16. He just dropped the mic. Dude is changing lives left and right. And the best part about him is that he wants to bring everyone with him. He's at the tip of the spear, but it's like he's like, hey guys, file in behind me. We're going to do this thing. So he has come out with a book. It is launching very soon. And I was like, Danny, please come on my podcast, so that we can talk about this book and let the world, because that's who's listening, I'm sure, let the world know what you're bringing to the table. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Dr. Danny Matei. Thanks, my dude.
You got it. You have really, like, really good intros, by the way. I don't know if, I told you this before. And no, I appreciate you having me back on. I mean, I like I said, like, before we started recording, I think we're, like, pretty much best friends by now. It's just fun because it's just like talking to your friend, you know, like, hey, let's have a conversation. And it's the easiest podcast to do for sure.
My God, every time we come on, and then, you know, Danny and I got to meet up again at CSM. He put on an awesome event down there, and he's really just showing us what PT and what marketing and connection and networking should really look like. You know, like, neither of us really huge into the APTA scene, but I know for sure I'm going again next year to CSM, and I feel like you probably are too, because you start to realize the value in these things and hanging out with people that do become like best friends, because you're like, hey, we're hanging out all the time. So
yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the thing that I definitely took away from CSM was just like I guess I was very impressed with the students that were there, right? Like, I got to meet, you know, a handful of students that were, they're just like super sharp, and they're thinking about things well ahead of like where I was at. Like, you know, I mean, I don't think that maybe I was the smartest student by any means, because I always felt like I had to study a lot just to not fail. And, you know, these people are like, they're building their personal brand, and they've got like, you know, all these things going on. I'm like, dude, you must be way smarter than me, because I couldn't do that. I was like studying all the time just so I didn't fail.
I totally agree. I said, you know, this is my third year going. I only really went because of Rock Tape they send me. And hands down, this year I saw the most hope and the most excitement from the students. The first year that I went, honestly, I felt like it was a lot of people that were really just disenchanted. And they're like, man, did I make the wrong decision? And it's really tough to see students thinking they've made the wrong decision, and they haven't even started working yet. So this year you have all these people coming up, and they're excited about the possibilities, and they know that even if their fill isn't that great, that there's all these options that they can do, and they can, like you said, they're already building brands, they're on social media, they're connecting, they're networking. Like, the future is super bright for this profession. I know that I have felt within myself a switch and a kind of reclaiming myself as a physical therapist. Because before I was kind of like, I don't really want to say it. I'm not really so proud of this. And now I'm like, heck yeah, man. So I want to thank you for that, Danny. You definitely have had a huge role in that and showing people just what, just what is possible. So why don't we jump into the really exciting stuff and talk about this book? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, no, it's I'm really I'm very excited for this project that, you know, I worked on, you know, all last year of writing this book. And the book is called Fuck Insurance. So it's really your roadmap to a successful performance-based cash PT practice. You know, and for me, the reason I wanted to write this, and I guess let me explain the title, because I think this is also where, you know, I'll probably, certain people will be like, got to read that. And other people will say, no chance. This guy's obviously crazy. So the reason I picked it is because I get a little bit irritated when I think about things that are happening in our profession to, in particular, newer practitioners that are coming out of school or have been out of school only for a few years. And it seems like there's really, there's this, I guess, huge movement towards private equity owned, you know, large practices that are gobbling up smaller practices, and they don't have the resources to do so, and they have market share, and they partner with hospitals, and what happens is they have like huge volume, and they're very profitable. They're owned by people that literally demand more profitability. You know, private equity just pools money together to buy businesses, essentially. And many of our peers are coming out of school, and you know, there's a lot of jobs available at these places, and they go to these facilities, and before they know it, they're seeing, you know, anywhere between 20, I mean, as high as, I've literally talked to people that were seeing upwards of 50 people a day with like one aide in a clinic. And so you're talking, let's say on the low end, 20 to 25, right? And what happens is at first, like, they're like, awesome, I'm actually making money. You know, I'm not broke anymore. I'm getting paid, which is good. You have a job. But after a period of time, what happens is people start to get really burned out. And the turnover at facilities like that are really, really high. And the other option that happens, or the other thing that happens, is all of a sudden, like, you're there for 6 months to a year, and then they make you a clinic director, which means you get paid marginally more and you have significantly more, you know, responsibilities. And you really are put in charge of trying to stand up new locations. That's really, you know, what they do. You got to like help build this new location out. So you're generating all this revenue for a company that is essentially burning you out from a profession that you went to school for so long for, that's so needed. And you know, it's, in my opinion, I think it's one of the things that is very detrimental to our profession. So this is the first group that, when I think about it, I really just, you know, I fucking hate these organizations that do this to our peers, right? Because I talk to them, and I know you talk to them, and they're frustrated, and they feel like they shouldn't have gone to PT school. And that's not a great place to be, you know, 100,000 in the hole to get a degree, thinking you're going to have this amazing life. And then, you know, you start to dislike what you do for a living. So the other group is honestly insurance companies. And insurance companies, if anybody thinks an insurance company is their friend, they're sadly mistaken. Insurance companies don't care about you. They don't care about me. You know, they don't care about the consumer. They care about making as much money as they possibly can. And I'm all for, you know, capitalism. I obviously own multiple businesses, and, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when it essentially like puts people in a position where they're financially strapped, just, you know, like this happened to me whenever I came out of the Army. I left the Army and I was shocked at how much insurance was going to cost for my family. It was like $1,100 a month for my wife and me and my two kids. And like, we drink like dehydrated greens. Okay. Like, we check our blood panels preventatively. Like, what am I paying for? You know what I mean? And we also had like a $4,000 or $5,000 deductible on top of that. So, you know, you have people, this is what's happened. Our profession is being reimbursed less than it was 5 to 10 years ago. the consumer is paying more than they were 5 to 10 years ago. So what's the, where does the revenue go? It doesn't go to the consumer, doesn't go to the actual practitioner. It goes right to the revenue. Revenue goes to the insurance company or the third party that's reselling that. And it's a broken system. And I think that what's happening is a lot of people are starting to look at how they can creatively go outside of that into whether it be like self-pay options for different things, that cash PT or primary care, whatever it might be. Like we don't use our insurance really at all. We have an HSA that has a super high deductible. So in a way, I guess we use cash that's ours to pay for things primarily preventatively. And you know, we have catastrophic care if anything terrible happens, but you're almost stuck doing that. And a lot of people are in that same boat. So I think that is an organization that I don't think anybody would feel bad about me throwing the middle finger up to. And, you know, and these private equity owned practices that are burning our peers down. Those are the two groups that I titled that for, because I think they do a lot of negative things for our profession. And what I really want people to get out of this book is to, you know, to be armed with tools to where they can say, okay, I don't want to, you know, feel like I'm subservient to this insurance company. And I don't want to be worked into the ground and just like ground up into little bits by this company that promised me I'd be a clinic director, which meant nothing essentially. And what else can I do? Well, here's another option. And it's a model that we've proven. You can take it, you can do what you want with it, you can build on it, you can, you know, break it down and change it or whatever, but this is what's worked for us and we want to share it with our community because it's something that, you know, I've seen work now for hundreds of other PTs in our niches that we focus on. And I, you know, it's going to continue to grow like that going forward, especially with these students that are coming out that are already thinking about things like this.
For sure. I mean, I think people listening, they get it. I think my audience, for the most part, really, really gets it. And for those people that maybe feel a little bit like, about it, you got to understand the things that Danny's talking about and the things that people are doing when they're going cash-based, it's not to make $1 million. Because if you want to make $1 million, you're not going to be a regular physical therapist. You'd like go into some other profession completely. You know, it's going and doing this cash-based model so that you can provide better care. At the end of the day, that is what underlines all of this, is that we want to provide better care and be able to create the lifestyle, including the type of patient care we're providing that we want. We don't want it to be dictated by insurance. You know, I did the insurance model. I did the mill, and I almost left PT 2 years after I graduated. If I didn't have so much debt, I wouldn't have stayed. I would have left. But I was like, I have to stay and prove to myself I didn't make a big mistake. But if I had less debt, I'd been like, screw this. This is for the birds. Like, we're not really, are we helping anyone? Are they just getting better because I'm seeing like they've been here and not doing the thing they want to do? And then they go do it again and it hurts. Like, who is winning with this? And, you know, my boss is telling me to book everyone 1 million times a week and you're just miserable. So what Danny's saying is comes from a really good place.
Well, I think the other problem that we have as a profession, and I noticed this when I was at CSM at the, I don't know if the event that Jimmy McKay did where he had a couple of people speak, one of them was Megan Brown. And for those of you that don't know Megan, she owns a Pilates studio. She actually owns a couple Pilates studios in the DC area. She's a physical therapist. They're absolutely like killing it, right? I mean, yes. I think they have like 50 or 60 instructors. And, you know, I had this conversation with Megan because as she was speaking, you know, she basically said like, you know, she didn't feel comfortable talking about revenue that their company was generating and the money that she was able to make as somebody that went out on her own. And I think that there's this sort of, I don't know, there's this issue with money that our profession has. Mm-hmm, there's this idea of like, you know, oh, I, you know, I do this because for the love of helping people. Well, that's great, you know, and I love helping people too, but you know, I think Tom Hanks probably loves making movies, but do you think that he doesn't want to get paid like millions and millions of dollars to make a movie, even though he loves it, right? I mean, people that are the best in the world at things typically make a lot of money compared to their peers. So I think that PT has an issue with making money. Like they view it as a bad thing, you know. But if you're making an income or a good living, and more than you probably think you ever possibly could. And you're helping people achieve these things that have, you know, held them back from activities that give them a lot of joy and keep them physically active and add years to their life. Like, you got to get over that shit, man. You know, yes. There's nothing wrong with money. There's definitely that. I had this guy on my podcast back when I had the Dog and Jock podcast, and he's like a legitimate billionaire. And he said, money's good for three things. It's fun to make, it's fun to spend, and it's even more fun to give away. And the way I look at it is, like, we've made a lot more money in the last, you know, 5 years since I've gotten out of the Army than I ever thought that we would. But it's also allowed us to support organizations all around us that we think are doing awesome stuff and give back in a way that we want to give back, right? And we couldn't do that if we were broke.
Exactly. I love that. It's fun to make, fun to spend, and fun to give away. I love it. That's so good. So good. And you hit the nail on the head there, Danny. Physical therapists, we have such a weird relationship with marketing ourselves, with making money. Yep. I know when I graduated, it was really interesting because one of the older students, so she was like her second career. She tried to send out or start an Excel sheet of what everyone was getting offered for, because it was everyone's first job. And so many people were just like, no. And I was like, what? This is the problem. Yeah. We have no idea what anyone's making or what's going on. And this way you can lobby for anything more or try to get any more because you don't know what the fuck is happening. Like, I love everything you're doing and you're saying you're putting out because it's real. And I think sometimes when you have someone that says something just as clear as you say it and just as matter of fact and just objectively as you say it, and then you take a step back and you're like, oh, yeah, like, she's right. I don't know why I had these weird feelings, but... you know, finally someone's voicing this and I kind of internalize it and
right. Think about this. I mean, like, there's one of the chapters in this book talks about your relationship with money. Like, it's incredibly important that you have a healthy relationship with money if you're going to try to go into business for yourself, you know. And a lot of this, it comes from how you were raised and what you were exposed to by your grandparents, by your parents. I mean, I can tell you, you know, I had some depression era grandparents. I only have one that's still around, right? But when I remember going to my grandmother and grandfather's house, and they lived in Killeen, Texas, which is one of the shittiest, sorry if you're from Killeen, Texas, but it's one of the shittiest places that I've ever been. It's like right near Fort Hood, Texas. It's just, it's just sort of like, sort of desertish, but not really desertish. And it's just like, I always dislike going there because I love my grandparents, but they're the kind of people that would just like sit around and play dominoes, and then they would make one ham for the entire week. So they would boil a ham at the beginning of the week, and then we would have like ham and eggs for breakfast, and they would have ham sandwiches for lunch, and they would have like ham and cabbage for dinner. And it was just ham the whole week. And my brother and sister and I, to this day, like, we hate ham. And it's, but here's why. Like, these people literally lived through the Great Depression, and they wouldn't spend a dime more than they had to. So my parents, my mom, that's their parents, like, her relationship with money is directly tied to theirs, right? So they look at it as the same way, like, make sure, you know, never waste anything, always like clear your plate. If your plate's not clear, give it to my dad so he would eat all of our food. Like, you know, it was this scarcity mentality that we had. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but you also have to understand that if you're going to go into business for yourself and you go with a scarcity mentality, in particular when it comes to money, like, oh, money is this finite thing that there's only a certain amount of, and I can only make a certain amount, and, you know, it'll run away from me if I don't do something with it, or whatever, like, your negative kind of self-limiting beliefs are with that, it's going to directly affect your business in a very, very negative way. And it's going to stop you from being able to really grow past just yourself or past revenue goals that you might think weren't even possible. So that relationship is weird, you know? Like, did your family have any, like, weird sort of things with money that kind of, like, imparted itself on you?
I think that there's just that concept of scarcity where I'm like, why do you buy so many of those things at once? Like, we could just go back and get more. But clearly growing up, like, my grandparents from my mom's side, my grandparents from my mom's side are both immigrants. They're both from Puerto Rico. And it's not like they came over and were millionaires. And so you see this and I'm like, why are you buying so many of those things right now? Why are you keeping that? We could just, like, get more of it. But you see it, and, like, it's actually taken me some time to be like, to adopt that mindset of, like, you can go and get more of it, or you can, like, do something else, and, like, this thing is not finite. It's not a finite resource. So I love that you've taken you've taken the biopsychosocial model, which is so sexy right now in terms of treatment, right? Everyone's like, oh, biopsychosocial model. And you've applied it to business. And you're just like, yeah, there's a human factor to this. And we have to, the psychosocial component of this. And we have to remember that when it comes to business. It's not just, you know, numbers. What is your relationship with this and why? And now let's make sure you deal with that shit. Otherwise, you're going to be poor. And that's
it's huge. You know, you hit the nail on the head. Like the thing that I've noticed, I spent a lot of time around entrepreneurs, so other business owners. I'm in a local mastermind group with entrepreneurs. I'm in a travel-based mastermind group with other entrepreneurs. I spent a lot of time around business owners. And I can tell you that from what I've seen, and it's sort of just like pattern recognition at this point, is like, there's sort of two kinds of people that I've noticed. There's people that are, they find solutions to problems, and they look at a negative thing in the lens of, okay, how can I learn from this and how can I grow from this? And so this doesn't happen again, or I can improve something so that it's better after this. And then there's other people that I see that have this very much like victim mindset. Yes. Oh, this is why I couldn't do this, is because so-and-so, you know, mm-hmm. did X, Y, and Z. Or, yeah, well, if it wasn't for this, then I would have accomplished this thing. Or, oh yeah, if it wasn't for that thing, then I would have been able to do this. It's like, no, motherfucker, everything is your fault. Everything is your fault. And if you don't see it that way, you're going to have a lot of problems if you continue to play the blame game on other people. So what happens when you go into business is, you, if you're in business for yourself, you literally can't blame anyone else. You're the only person. You're the only person trying to get this thing going. It's so challenging initially to start. And, you know, for people, it's a reason why not a lot of people do this, is because they're scared of that recognition of it's either you or, you know, you can't blame anybody else. It's your fault or it's your win. And that's it. And if you can come to that sort of conclusion of, let's say you are, have a little bit of victim mindset kind of, you know, in you, and you like to blame other people for things, it doesn't mean that you have to stay there. You know, like that's one of the best parts about it. And this is why I think you and I connect so well, is because I feel like the two of us are constantly trying to evolve and grow and learn more things and change and be okay with admitting that we're wrong about things and being okay with learning about other ways of doing things. And that's fine. That's good. And if you're kind of in that sort of, yeah, I do blame people for other things, and maybe some shitty stuff happened to you earlier in life, I mean, I can't change that. You can't change that. All you can do is, you can look at, how can you learn from those things? How can you not let things like that happen again? How can you grow from that? And then start taking ownership in everything going forward, because that's when you'll start to really see these exponential changes within your relationships, your personal development, and your business is a direct reflection of you. And positive or negative, it's exactly you, but in the form of a business.
Yes. You guys listening to this, you should be getting fired up. And this is the kind of person who you want to learn from, the person that's passionate about it, because they may not be, you know, just inherently an expert on this, but because they're passionate, they're going to go and figure out the best way to do this. And they're going to keep continuing to refine this and refine it and refine it, and using that scientific method, which Kelly talks about in your foreword,
right,
to create the best product. So I actually got my hands on a copy of this book, guys, and I got to read the foreword and cruises through some of it. And first of all, you guys know K-Star. He single-handedly changed the game for everyone, every physical therapist, anyone dealing with movement and mobility. Like, he was the spear. He was the tip of the spear. He was the spear. And then we kind of all, you know, funneled along behind him. And Danny and him are very good friends. And so Kelly wrote the foreword, and it is saying all of this. And it's funny, because if you guys follow me on social media, you know that I got a tattoo a few months ago, I guess now, a month ago, I don't even know, the days are all the same, that from Buckminster Fuller, right? You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change things, build a new model that makes the existing reality or the existing model obsolete. And nice. Kelly actually dropped that in.
References that, yeah.
Yeah, in the forward. And it's so true. Danny has done that. It's like, we stop sitting there just bitching about things. And that's what people are doing, right? That people are bitching about, oh, insurance, I can't do this because of this, I can't do this because of this, and this happened to me. Stop bitching. And let's do something. And you got Danny here putting out so many things, and the most recent being a book that's like, hey, here's how you can do this. Who would you say, Danny, and I get the answer as anyone, but who did you really write this book for? Is there a certain demographic that you had in mind?
So, yeah, there is. And I think that, you know, when I talk to people that are interested in like potentially doing like structured work with us, I'm very straightforward with like, look, this is who these concepts really apply to pretty much anybody that's interested in, you know, having a business, but in particular a service business. But, you know, I wrote this book for people like myself. I really wish I would have had something like this whenever I started. And it's really for that sort of performance-based provider that is, you know, sitting in a high volume practice and they're starting to question if they ever should have gone to PT school to begin with. And the reason I do this is because I've been there. Like I literally sat in my car one morning, you know, when I was stationed at Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia. I'd been taken out of this job where I was had tons of autonomy and I was doing like strength conditioning stuff and I was doing treatment and injury prevention and all kinds of cool stuff. And I got moved to Columbus, Georgia and put back into a hospital clinic setting. And my volume was pretty high because we had sick call hours. And then, you know, I was basically just a eval and reevaluation machine. And I didn't get a chance to really use this skill set that I had developed to really help people with, you know, movement problems and fix these complex movement problems and use my hands in an effective way that I could do. And I was fairly depressed going to work. I just never ever thought that I would sit in my car and not want to go to work. Mm-hmm. And that's really when it dawned on me that I just have to make a change. And Kelly and I had been talking about some of this stuff anyway, about other things I could do outside of the military. And that's really when I decided to do it. And I know there's people out there that are sitting in their car in the morning and they're just like, damn it, I don't want to go to this clinic and work with these work comp patients that don't want to get better and not be able to use my skill set in a way that I know that I can. And I know there's people out there that I can help, but I just don't know how to do it. That's really who it's for. I mean, I think this like sort of hybrid performance sort of PT professional that understands how to blend the gray area there in between like rehab and strength and conditioning is such a valuable asset to so many people. And that's who I wrote it for. Cause I think that is in this model in particular that we talk about, that's who's going to hit a nail on the head with this. And for some of them, they might just need a little bit of, guidance for courage, because it's challenging to think about leaving a steady paycheck to go do something on your own because you read a book or some dude talked about it online or, you know, on a podcast. Right. And I hope that the information at least sort of gives people a framework of being able to break some of these false beliefs and being able to see that this is happening, you know? And I mean, I've had an opportunity at this point to help close to like 300 providers start practices like this. And, you know,
that's amazing.
That's a lot of freaking people. So for me, it's just normal to think it's okay. But like, you may not know that. You may not have ever talked to anybody that's done that. So I reference people in this book that I think you'll be shocked about some of the things that they've been able to do.
You guys listening, this should be a little bit of insight into this man's head and how he operates and, you know, what's kind of led to his success just from the title alone. One of the things that's important to do when you're trying to market, build a brand, create something, sell something, is kind of honing in on who your target audience is. And it's really difficult. PT school, almost from the beginning, like, wants you to believe that you can do everything and you can treat everyone and you should be able to do all the things all the time. And the reality is that's terrible. If you don't want to treat that kind of patient, you don't have to. Danny's giving you permission and a roadmap on how to not have to do those things, even with his title. Like, yes, that is a very polarizing title. And that is how you sell things. That is how you create your army, your family, your tribe, is by saying, this is what I stand for. And it will, you know, polarize and some people won't like it. And that's okay, because I am not for everyone. I am here to do the best that I can for the people that want to receive it. And that's what you guys as physical therapists should be saying and thinking and feeling and doing. You know, if your model is that you want to stay in the insurance model, awesome. If your model is that you want to, you know, work for someone else, awesome. But for those of you listening that are like, hey, maybe, you know, I want something else, or this, what Danny is saying is what I'm really feeling it. This is why I bring him on, to provide resources for you guys, because I can't do everything, right? I am not that business person and starting business practices and starting a clinic. That's not my thing. But I am really good at connecting people. And my goal with this podcast is to expose you guys to the resources that are out there and the resources that I think are the best resources, which is why I brought Danny on to talk about his latest resource, this amazing book.
Go ahead, say it. Fuck insurance.
I know, right? Fuck insurance. Like,
no, it's like here's the other thing. I think there's nothing wrong with being employed by somebody else. Like, I'm not saying that the only way to get what you want in life is to become self-employed. It's not the easy way to do it in particular. But the challenge is there's not a lot of clinics out there that are built in a way that is going to allow you to see people in the manner that you can most effectively use your skill sets, in my opinion. Now, there's people out there that will argue with me about, well, it's not been shown that, you know, a group model isn't as is not as effective as individual. And that might be true. I don't fucking know. I'm not sure. Right. But here's what I can tell you. I've worked in both models. OK, I've seen a shitload of people in a day and I've seen one person an hour, and I'm way happier seeing one person an hour, and I develop way deeper relationships with my patients when I see one patient an hour. I can tell you their dog's name and their kid's name, and I can tell you where they go on vacation and all kinds of stuff about them. And I really enjoy that side of it versus me feeling like a waiter working with 2 to 3 people an hour, just bouncing back and forth, trying to figure out where the next thing was going to happen and making sure everybody was doing their TheraBand external rotation work, because that's the only time I had to teach was these simple little things. And I didn't like my profession at that point. I didn't like my career, and I felt like I was leaving a lot of potential on the table to help people get reach goals that they wanted that were more complex. So, you know, if you feel like that, if you feel like you don't have the capacity to use your skill set, or you wish that you could have more time to really delve into the other side of it, not just the physical side, but talk to people about what's going on in their life and help them get over some of these things that we know are inherently going to be more, not just physical, right? Psychological. Yeah. And the nervous system is just intricate. And, you know, the more that we develop these relationships, the better results we get for people. So you can absolutely do that. And if you can find a location, like one of the reasons we want to scale, I felt obligated to actually grow to where we could have multiple PTs within our practice, mm-hmm. because I wanted to help. I was like, I got to save some of these students graduating from the inevitable crap that they're going to have to like work in. And that's where we're at. And, you know, at this point, like, we have 3 staff PTs, and every single one of them is just like super smart. And, you know, we're fortunate to have them, but they also know what the other side looks like. And they're really happy to be able to work with people in this setting. And they get so much more out of it.
You had actually said that in the last episode, and it was something that really resonated with me. And it ties into what you said this time about, you know, what we can do with money, make it, spend it, and give it away. And you're talking about how with these people you brought on, that they are able to have this life that a lot of other people aren't. And that's really amazing. That was something your way of kind of giving back, like, hey, I can create this environment and this job and have these people employed, and now they can provide for their families, or they can buy a house, they can get out of debt, they can get out from underneath that crippling student loan debt. And that's amazing. These are all things you can do, you guys listening, that you can do to pay it forward if you make some money. Like, it's the nature of the beast there, so.
Well, it totally is. And I think that, what do they say? Like, when little oxygen masks come down in an airplane, you always like put yours on first so that you can help other people, right? Like,
you got it.
Well, you know, and this is really kind of the way we look at it with business. It's where, you know, for us, could we probably run our business in a more like profitable way, not have as much, you know, staff, or maybe like not pay for their healthcare, you know, like these things that we give them that are just like really good benefits. Yeah, we could probably do that, but at the expense of what? Like, really happy, smart people is what we want, right? Yes. And so we look at it as it's an investment in these people. And and for us, it's about long-term, everything's about long-term relationships, whether it's the patient, whether it's, you know, the actual like staff members that we have that work with us, whether it's about people that listen to this podcast, or people that read this book, or people that reach out to me. You know, you have to make these decisions based on what's best long term and not short term. And sometimes they're not this maybe like the best decision in terms of your bank account or your time, you know, like, but if you're really, really working towards trying to help other people, and I know you do a great job of this, you know, there's a reason why when I'm around you at some of these events, it's very apparent that people are like really excited to meet you. You know, and it's because you're selfless with a lot of things you do. And I feel like you have to really be that way if you're trying to make a true change within our profession. And I know you're trying to do the same thing in a different way.
No, totally, Danny. Totally. As you're saying this, I'm like, this man is, I'm scrolling through the copy you sent me, because everything that Danny is saying, like literally every sentence that has come out of his mouth, ties back into what he's put into this book. And it kind of blows my mind. Like, you wrote a book. Like, this is no easy undertaking. Like, especially to do it, this, as of what I'm seeing right now, is 178 pages. That's not very long, Danny. That's amazing that you're able to, you know, condense your knowledge and make it digestible in that amount of time. Like, it's very easy to write a 1,000-page book. Like, that people may say, like, what? Like, the more space you have, the easier. You can just say whatever. To parse it out and bring it down to 178 pages, and I'm just looking through the titles here, and I'm like, and I hear your passion, and it's all here on paper. How long did this take you?
So the writing process probably took me right around 8 months. Then editing, you know, getting with the editor, all the stuff that, like, all right, once they get it, they send it back, we have to reread. And then, you know, we send it back to them. And then we look at, like, what do you want the cover to look like? And, you know, like, the total process was probably close to a year. But you know, I mean, it was definitely one of those things that, what do they say? You underestimate, like, you overestimate what you can do in a month, and you underestimate what you can accomplish in a year.
Yes.
And yeah, I actually, like, there were a lot of chapters that I ended up taking out of this. And I almost feel like there's a second book I need to write at some point, because the goal of this is, so here's the framework of this book. Here's, like, all you need to know is, if this is for you, like, this is the basic summary. So I want to show you the stages of a cash practice that we've seen. You know, there's different kind of steps. Think of it that way. So I look at it like martial arts. So my son does jiu-jitsu, and, you know, you don't just, like, ascend up to a black belt right away. Like, you know, if everybody just, like, went in as a white belt, and then, like, 7 to 10 years later, all of a sudden you just got a black belt one day, like, they probably wouldn't have a whole lot of people stick around. So in business, I think it's important to understand that when you hit these certain milestones, like, you should celebrate that. It's like getting another belt. So the first part of this book is really the story of, like, what we went through and the stages that we have, you know, defined within a cash practice. And then the second half is all about sales and marketing. And what I see is most people struggle that decide to go out on their own with sales and marketing. And sales and marketing will really help grow your business. You could be bad at everything else, be good at sales and marketing. In a cash practice, you should be able to really scale that up to somewhere around, like, $40,000 a month in revenue. So, you know, if you're good at those things, you can really build a pretty solid business. After that, it gets a little trickier, because it involves a lot more people, and you have to have a lot of systems and be solid with hiring and understand your, you know, vision and core values and all these things that are really important in a business. But, you know, before that, like, this is what this book is for. It's for you to really be able to get people in the door, and that's acquisition. So marketing, how do you get them in? Where are they? Where do you find them? How do you market to them and talk to them in their language? And then the second part is, once they're there, how do you have an intelligent conversation with them about why they're actually there, and what problem you can help them solve, and what thing you can help them get back to that they really, really enjoy? And that's sales. And sales is something that is, you know, not taught in school, but probably the most important skill that you could develop as a practitioner, whether you're working for yourself or not, because that's really also compliance with buy-in of doing what you say, right? Making habitual changes, but also giving you money. I mean, and I look at it this way, like, if somebody's willing to give me money out of pocket to solve a problem with them, they are bought in that I'm the right person. They trust me, and it's up to me to deliver on the result, right? And that's where you have to get, but you have to understand the process of sales and selling yourself effectively within PT, which is one of the harder things to do, because let's be honest, like, no one, January 1st rolled around and they're like, you know what my New Year's resolution is? To go to physical therapy. I want to get hurt and end up in physical therapy. Like, nobody ever says that. They don't want to come see us. We're like one step above the dentist.
Exactly.
That's it. So, okay, how do you sell that? Like, if you can sell that, you can pretty much sell anything. And it's really about understanding how to convey what you can do for what somebody is actually wanting, you know, to get solved, the solution that they're looking for.
Dude, you guys listening, even if you just get the book for that part, that's one of the cool things I think about books. And I'm not going to lie, I do not read a lot of books. People are like, what's your favorite book? I don't really read that much. But I will read kind of business books and self-help books, motivation books, things like that, because I get more out of them. But even if you buy it for nothing else than that last chapter, you can use all of that, or that last section he just spoke about, I should say, you can use all of that in whatever field you're in, whatever practice, whatever setting you're in. Like, that's a huge, huge issue, is this concept of buy-in and, you know, intrinsic motivation. I'm trying to work on a podcast, actually, like one of my solo episodes about that, because that's where I think a lot of us, a lot of physical therapists, especially new grads, will fall short, because they get so into the science of things, which is good, and so into the how and like a million techniques. And like, I'm going to dry needle and use iStim and rock tape. You know, I love rock tape. That's my shit. But like, this person doesn't even want to be there. So it doesn't matter that you have all these things, because they're not bought in. So if you can learn some of these soft skills, it's going to take you so far. And then if you do decide to go, you know, farther than the rabbit hole and start your own side hustle, guess what? That's in this book. If you want to go farther than that and like have your own practice, that's in there. And then how you can scale up from there. And Danny, where did the content for this? So you've been doing this for years, but clearly the best way to create something is with market research. And you ask people what they want, what their pain points are, and then you give it back to them. Where did that content, that information come from?
So when I first started to get a lot of people sort of reaching out to me about business stuff, I would just like jump on calls with people, because I just didn't feel like I was in a position to where I would even like be able to charge somebody for something, because I was still learning a lot, right?
Yeah.
So I've done a lot of conversations with people early on like that. And then when we put together the GMPT Blueprint course, when people would buy that, especially very early on, we had I would do an hour long call with everybody that bought it. So I mean, I've literally had, I don't even know, probably well over 500 to 1,000 like individual hour long calls in the last couple of years with practice owners that are either starting or scaling their practice. And you know what I started to notice was this sort of these constant like themes that kept coming up of problems that people were having. So number one, you know, what we'll tend to see is that people, they typically will undervalue themselves. They charge way less than what they're worth. And they lack a lot of conviction in how they talk to people. So they can't actually charge what they're worth. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we start to adjust some of these things, all of a sudden they can go from charging $120 a session to $200. Now, what does that do to your business? Well, it dramatically changes your business in terms of profitability per session. Also, it changes your outcomes, because people are, they're paying more, but they're also more bought in because they have more skin in the game, right? Yeah. Now, so the other problem that we kept seeing is like, okay, well, where do I find these people, right? So, all right, well, these are the things that we found that work. Let's teach them to you. Let's test it. Let's retest it. Let's see how it works. Let's tweak it. Let's do it again. And you know, it's very similar to training, in my opinion. It's like, all right, well, I'm working with an athlete and we're testing different variables. If we're programming for them in some capacity, you know, like we'll do, okay, I'm going to do a respiratory warm up with this person because I think they have some sort of like breathing dysfunction. And then let's see how their output looks afterward. And then somebody else, we tested with it and we don't see a change. So we don't have them do a respiratory warm up if it doesn't change their output. If it does change their output, awesome. That's going to be part of your warm up because you inherently get a change from it. So business, this is no different. It's really from a lot of repetitions of a lot of real life. Like, this isn't theory. I didn't just think to myself, you know what would be cool for me to write a business theory book on cash practices. You know what I thought would be cool is like, hey, let me give these people a handbook. You know, like when I joined the Army, I was issued the Army Officer's Handbook. It's a big book, and it has like pretty much everything you would need to know as an Army officer, right? It's a field manual. It's like, okay, this is how you salute. This is where, you know, how you wear different things on your uniform. These are customs and courtesies that you need to know. There's all this stuff, right? And you know, I feel like for a business owner in this realm, a cash practice, especially if you're a performance PT, then, you know, your handbook, this should be your handbook. I hope you get it. I hope you read it. I hope that you think to yourself, this guy didn't waste my time with a bunch of just like useless shit. Like, he's teaching me the things that he's found that have worked over and over again in practices that he's helped scale well over $50,000, $60,000 a month in revenue and above. And, you know, it's not just something that we made up. You know, it's really based off of real life experience and a lot of repetitions. And it's not something I could have written 2-3 years ago. Yeah. You know, it's really something that as we grow and we evolve and we get more. And this is the other thing. I think that in 5 years, I'll probably look back and I'll be like, damn, I left a bunch of shit out. Like I could have done a better job. I hope that that happens because that means that we just continue to learn.
Exactly. And you continue to grow and you do another one. How can people get this? What's the deal? I know we talked a little bit in the beginning, but what information can you tell them?
March 19th, it'll be available.
Hold up. If you're listening to this, that means that it is at least March 25th or later. So that book, it's out. And that also means that I now have an affiliate link. For those of you not familiar with the amazing affiliate model, that means that if you use the link that I provide, I will make a commission. It's a beautiful system, just absolutely incredible. So I have a link for you. I also recently learned that unless you're listening to this on something like iTunes, you may not actually be able to see the show notes, as I call them, without going to the actual website, which is really annoying for you guys. So I'm sorry. So I'm going to say the link a few times now, and hopefully you'll be able to write it down. Okay, if you're on iTunes, then the link will be in the show notes. All right, that link is a Bitly link. If you don't know what that is, Google it. It's a great way to shorten links and customize them. So it's going to be bit.ly/maestrofuckinsurance. One more time, or maybe two more times. bit.ly/maestrofuckinsurance. Insurance. One last time for the folks in the back. bit.ly/maestrofuckinsurance. Oh, and did I mention that they're running a promotion and the book is free? All you gotta do is pay for shipping and handling. It's a total no-brainer. All right, bit.ly/maestrofuckinsurance. Go check it out.
And now, back to the show.
So you can get it on Amazon as well. And it's, I think it's going to be like $19.99 or something like that on Amazon. And it should be like $6 or $7. Basically, we're going to give this book to people. As long as they just pay for shipping, then we're cool. We want to get it into as many hands as we can. So check out the book and see what it's all about. You know, and get a better idea if it's the right thing for you to actually read.
I love it. I will link everything in the show notes, guys, like I always do, to make things easier for you. You should be chomping at the bit. Super excited about this. This is, like I said, it's a book, so you can read as much as you want, read as little as you want, and has extra resources in it. Danny has, you have some other stuff they can actually get involved with. You want to just like rattle that off real quick?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, it depends on the person's, I guess, desire to want to progress their business quickly. So we have a program called the Gym PT Blueprint. It's currently closed right now. We're actually like revising some of the modules that we just feel, you know, we can do a better job of like explaining things better and improving and adding other resources to it. Like, it's just something that we try to close down once a year and redo. Even though it's a lot of work, we just are constantly trying to just make it better and evolve. So that's one option. If you're looking to just start a practice like this and you want basically like paint by numbers exactly what to do, and I'm talking like legal documents that you need to get started, you know, everything in terms of like super bills and how you actually like organize this stuff and understanding what you need to know with insurance, how you find these people, how you do the financial stuff on the back end, you know, what you need to actually get started, what you don't need. All that stuff is in there to actually show you exactly how to do that and get up and running as quickly as possible and start a practice for under $2,000 to $3,000 is really what most people end up kind of being able to budget out. For a business, to start a business, that's pretty damn cheap. Now the other option is our masterminds. We have the PT Entrepreneur Mastermind, which is, I like to tell people it's like the cheat codes for business in this, in this realm. I mean, this is basically what it is. So, okay. What we basically did, so it's myself, my business partner, Eve Gigi, and our other business partner, Jared Moon, got together, and we basically decided to do was take the systems that we've developed between the practices that we own and basically white label them in a way to where we could teach other businesses everything that we learned without having to franchise what we do and sell it to them. I feel like it's a bit of an antiquated sort of unfair model for the people that are franchisees. You know, you have to pay this massive fee up front. You have to pay this ongoing gross revenue for the rest of eternity. And, you know, the other thing too is it's not really, in my opinion, what I want people to do. I want them to have their own, you know, shingle on the door. I want them to have their own name, but it doesn't mean that the systems aren't there that we've proven to be successful, right? So how do you get people in the door? How do you hire? How do you sell? You know, how do you develop your actual like internal core values so that culture, so people want to work with you and show you exactly what's working. And here's the other thing that this is why I call it Cheat Codes for Business, because right now we've got right around 30 people in the mastermind. And I fully expect by the time that we have our next live event, which is going to be in November, we'll probably be closer to like 60 or 70. Now, do you think you have a better likelihood of being successful by yourself or with 60 to 70 people that are sharing resources, that are like type A, super motivated go-getters that have all decided to go into business for themselves in the same you know, niche and have abundance mentalities, and they're all like working with each other and yet also semi-competing with each other in a very like healthy way to see who can grow the fastest, see who can like build the quickest and impact the most number of people? And what we see in that mastermind is crazy. Like, it's wild to me to see some of the changes where people will go from, you know, a couple $1,000s a month in revenue to all of a sudden they're $15,000, $20,000 a month in revenue within 6 to 12 months of being in. They go from having I don't have any money problem to I don't know what to do with all this money problem. And, you know, it's crazy. I wish something like this would have been around whenever I started, because it's such a lonely place to be sometimes when you're starting out and you don't know if you're doing the right things. And you know, you don't know who to celebrate with. You don't know who to talk to about failures that you have. And it's, you know, it's being an entrepreneur can be a lonely existence, and having a group like that, I think is just something that's really healthy for these people. And it's really healthy for their businesses. I mean, that is what I enjoy the most, is seeing these people grow and knowing that, you know, they go from being stressed and worried about how they're going to feed their kids to all of a sudden, you know, they're taking their kids on a Disney cruise because, you know, they can afford to. And like, that is really, in my opinion, the thing that I'm most proud of, you know, from what I've done. It's not anything I've done teaching wise or clinically, even this book. It's really like the human, you know, change that we've been able to help facilitate and see firsthand. Like, that is such a unique, you know, cool experience that is something that I think that's the thing that I'll just continue to want to do forever, essentially.
My dude, Danny, is always giving back. You guys, jump on board. You have a million different options. I'm going to link them all. If you want a book, you got a book. If you want the blueprint, it's not quite out yet, but once it gets revamped, you'll have access to that. You can go and look at that and then buy that if you want. You want a mastermind? You got a mastermind. You have so many options. And you hear, this guy just wants you to do better, wants to help you out. So you can't be mad at that. Danny, before I let you go, is there anything else you want to leave the people with?
I mean, I think the only thing I would say is just, you know, I first of all, I just appreciate you having me back on. You know, it's always fun to have a conversation with you and to be able to talk about some things that are a little bit more, you know, I don't know, cerebral instead of, you know, just like, okay, how do I dry needle the whatever, Emperor Spinata is better. Like, just, that's one of the reasons I enjoy chatting with you and I've really enjoyed getting to know you, you know, over the last couple of years. So, I just want to say, you know, thank you for your time and thank you for your listeners to give me their time. I mean, if they've stuck with us this long, it's, you know, it's almost 50 minutes. And I know that, you know, your time is the most valuable asset that you have. And the fact that you're willing to give me almost a full hour to listen to some things that I have to say, it just means a lot. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your listeners, and thanks for having me on.
My dude, you're the best. You just do the outro for me. That's like so easy. I love
That's it.
I love it. Danny, thank you as always for coming on and just inspiring me. I'm one step closer to that beach house. It's coming. That ocean view.
Oh, it's going to happen. I can't wait. I'm going to sit there. I'll drink a margarita with you on the deck.
You guys listening, thank you as always for tuning in. I know you could have been doing anything like Danny said, and you chose to listen to us. And for that, we are endlessly, endlessly, endlessly appreciative. I am not going to ask you for a like. I'm not going to ask you for a rating, a star, or a subscription, or anything like that. If you enjoyed this episode, do me a solid, push this profession forward, and go check out some of those resources that he listed for you. Okay? Until next time, friends, Dr. Danny Bittet and Maestro,